Welcome back to One of Us is Talking. I hope everyone had a great holiday season and a very happy new year. I'm so excited to start the first episode of 2023 with this guest. Today, Marianne Tejada is joining me and we're talking all about Bronwyn's karaoke scene. If you're anything like me, this is one of my favorite scenes from season 2. And it was so exciting to be able to talk to Marianne and hear all about it. So without further ado, here's Marianne. Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for joining this episode of One of Us is Talking. How are you today?
Hi, Allison. I'm doing great. It's always great to see you and talk to you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you here today. I mean, Bronwyn's karaoke scene, so iconic. Your performance all the season 2, season 1, amazing. But I feel like this karaoke scene really just stood out. And I know at Comic-Con, Erica said that it was inspired by a real-life karaoke scene moment of yours at a rap party for the pilot. Can you talk about that and like what song maybe was or what that moment was like?
Thank you for all the compliments. And yeah, that scene, I'm actually glad the karaoke scene made it into the cut, because there was a possibility that it wasn't going to be there just for timing purposes. Script wise, they took it away for a little bit, and then Roxanne Benjamin, I have to give her credit for this, and myself fought really hard for that scene, because aside from it being a really fun scene to do, I think it's like sort of Bronwyn's arc this season. It's the first time that we see her do something so out of character for her, so it was fun and it was amazing to do. And the whole thing came about because, like you mentioned, at the rap party for the pilot, we went to this karaoke place and we all sang our hearts out. And I think it was the first song that I actually took a crack at was Dreams by Stevie Nicks. And Cooper sang with me because we were both like, I don't know, kind of obsessed with that song for Bronwyn and Nate. Mm-hmm. At the time, we had this joint playlist and we sang it together. And then from there, I think I would just honestly jump on everyone else's song that they were singing. I would just join them in the stage and kind of like help them sing. And it was just like a really fun night. And I think that they just saw that I just enjoyed doing it. Like, I really love a good karaoke night. By all means, I don't think I'm like the greatest singer, but I love karaoke.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to see that translate. Kind of, it's still Bronwyn, but it's also so you. And I think seeing that on screen was so amazing for fans. And I mean, even though it was such a fun scene to film, I'm sure having to sing like that and having to release an episode like that was a little bit scary. So what were your thoughts when you found out about this, or like your feelings, like excited?
I mean, I had never recorded anything also before in a studio singing wise. Like, I had done ADR and that sort of stuff. And I didn't know for some reason that if you're singing in a scene, you have to go in the studio and record the song so you can have the backup sound there. And that I was more terrified for than actually singing live for an audience. Because like I said, to me, that part is like, oh, it's karaoke, it's fun. I don't think anyone's expecting me to be like Celine Dion or something. And then when I knew I had to go to the studio, I just hit up, I talked to Zania and then I talked to Kareem. And then I ended up taking Kareem to the studio with me. And I could have not done this without his support and help. I remember I went to his place like the day before recording, and I was like, Kareem, can you please like help me like find this song and make it my own and whatnot? And he was like, yeah, of course. And I remember singing so shyly in front of him that I think he was like genuinely concerned. He was like, oh my God, I don't know how this is gonna turn out. And then we went to the studio and I kind of like loosened up. Like, having him there was the greatest thing ever. He really just like injected me with his confidence, because he's an amazing singer. And he's just like, just really go for it and like make it your own. And like, I know those things sound like cliche-ish, but it really is what does it in everything, really. And yeah, and then when we had to film the scene, he actually showed up on set. He wasn't working that day. I didn't ask him to be there, but like, he went. And I love you, Kareem, if you see this. I love you, thank you. You know how grateful I am.
He's actually gonna be a guest in the new year, So,
oh my gosh, okay.
Because I remember when you guys posted the picture of you in the studio. I think Matt had, I right away knew, I'm like, that's not ADR. Like, that's going to be singing. So we thought maybe Kareem was going to be singing too. So we weren't sure like how it was going to play out, but it was fun to see like once the trailer came out, like Bronwyn had a karaoke scene and everyone was so excited. And I guess like recording the song, was it always Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing, or did it kind of go from one song and then get to that point?
By the time I went to record it, we knew it was going to be Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing, and we fluctuated from a couple songs. But Roxanne, our director for episodes 4 and 5, God, if I get this wrong, I'm screwed. she picked the song, and I think it was amazing. I kind of, yeah, the other option that some people really liked, I wasn't, not because I don't love the song, but I think for Bronwyn, the other option that was like down to those two was Wrecking Ball. I thought Wrecking Ball was amazing, but I thought Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing was more just in concept with the whole episode too, because they had done a very, very bad, bad thing. Yeah. And also for Bronwyn, I think it was like a great musical choice, because I think her taste in music lies like in the rock realm more than pop. Mm-hmm. So Roxanne just killed it with the option. The first time I heard the song, I was like, this is it. Yeah, this is the one.
I think it fit really well into the moment that the whole murder club was in. And then it was just so Bronwyn. Like, I feel like it was just, I don't know, something about that scene just really, it's something you wouldn't have expected from her. But right. When it like all played out, it fit in. And what was shooting that karaoke scene like? Because it looks so like seamless and natural, but were there like a lot of different, was it almost like choreographed?
It was. And I mean, it wasn't, we didn't sit down and were like, oh, this is where you have to move. But it is very technical. The stage was so tiny, and I thought I was just going to get to go wild on a stage and kind of like really just feel it. And they really, like Roxanne and the producers and everyone, really let me have as much freedom as we could with the space. But then I didn't know also that I kind of had to sing the song without music to sing it to, kind of just like a cappella in front of everybody. And then I had to like lip sync a whole load of times. And it was almost harder to kind of like have the emotion and the evolution of the song without actually making any noise or any sounds.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And I guess seeing the final cut must have been like a very, I don't know, that must have been a really cool moment, like seeing it all come together, because you saw every part of that.
It was, yeah. And the crowd, just the background artists that we had that day were amazing, cheering me on and just really in party mode. Yeah, it was great.
That's so cool. I mean, I think fans love this scene. I think it's going to be one of those moments when people look back on the show years to come. Like, it's going to be like the one that stands out. Like, it's going to be such like so important to the show. And what has been like your reaction to seeing this fan reaction?
It's just been, I'm just grateful. I'm just really grateful that people love the show in general and this season. I don't think I ever take it for granted, you know, like it's almost shocking to go film for 5 months in New Zealand. And then you really don't know what's going to happen. We know that we have an amazing time. We all get along so well. We love each other. We're friends. And then other than that, it's like, well, we really don't know what's going to happen now. So when like the tweets and the Instagram comments start coming in, and you know, people like you who like devote so much time to like, you're taking your time to like interview us to talk about the show. It's just insane.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, this show, and I'm sure I speak for many other fans, has had such an effect on a lot of us. And a lot of us have made such good friends from all around the world through it. And even some of my good friends that I met through the show, they're from Argentina. And Cammy, I don't know if you know the name, she, when you have like interviews in Spanish, she'll sit there and translate them for me. So
oh
I mean,
God, she's the one that, oh my God, I'm going to shoot her a message. Yeah. She actually briefly chatted on Instagram too.
Yes. I mean, these friends that I've made. So just the effect that you guys have had on all of us, I think is amazing. And I talked about this with Jess a bit, just you can tell that the whole cast gets along, and like the warmth that you guys radiate, I think really reflects on the fandom. So, I mean, it's great to hear all.
Gosh, I love to hear that, Allison. That's so special. That there's like one of us community out there that you guys are having a good time and connecting.
Yes, no, it's amazing. And I mean, so going more into season three with Bronwyn and that Bronwyn and Janae friendship, I mean, that was one of my favorite parts. And I think just seeing two unlikely characters come together, what was that like filming for you?
It's always a blast. Jess is one of those actors that you really don't have to do anything when they're there, because they are so spectacular and talented that my job is just to sit there, take it all in, and kind of like watch the responses come out of me. And they're amazing. They're like the sweetest human being, most thoughtful. We are obsessed with Jess, like every single one of us. And it's not a coincidence. They're just amazing, smart, extremely talented, and just the camaraderie, like the support that they offer each and every one of us individually. Like anytime I feel like I sit down with Jess to have a conversation, it's always so memorable is the word that comes to mind. Like I think I remember our conversations, and it's because they're so thoughtful and intentional about the way they step into life and the work. It's an honor to share scenes with them. And Janae and Bronwyn, they're so different, but at the same time, they're very similar. I think they want very similar things. They have different ways of approaching it. And that's why it makes for very good comedic moments and very deep and sweet moments when they actually see eye to eye. It's so sweet.
Yeah, I think even that moment in the car when Bronwyn's talking about how she doesn't think she'll be good enough for Nate, and then Janae has that line where he's like, Bronwyn wrote, like, not good enough for Nate McCullough. Like, I think that just, it was so touching, like, just to see that friendship there. And I mean, it was just amazing to see that play out. And in a hopeful season three, I know we would all love to see more of that. And I think you and Jess's friendship really also shines through there. So that's great to see. And getting into character for season two, you guys, you filmed in New Zealand, then you came back, and then you had months off, you go back. How do you make sure to get back in character when it's time to like start filming?
I think the easiest thing, what I mean to say, it's just really easy because seeing everyone, and there's like, even though you see us together all the time, we are rarely all of us together at the same time. Like there's always one person missing, or one person's overseas somewhere, or one person doesn't live in LA. So when we are all together, the whole cast, like with our guests and just everyone, I think it's easy, at least for me, to step into the universe again. And then reading the scripts, the more we get to know our writers and our writers get to know us, they write in the voices of our characters and kind of like imprint the writing with ourselves a little bit. So as soon as you step into reading too, that also helps kind of know where we are and grounds you in that universe of Bayview. And then the final thing is there's this kind of ritual magic thing that happens when you step into your trailer, you put on your costume, you go to hair and makeup, and then you step out of the trailer to go onto set. I feel like that whole morning ritual or whatever the call time is for set really, really is the thing that kind of ties the bow into like, okay, I'm stepping into Bronwyn right now.
That's so cool to see how that, I mean, it seems like it's pretty seamless. Like once you're kind of in it, it kind of like fits in. And I guess it helps that everyone else is also in like their character and like being in on set. That's really cool to hear. Cause I mean, sometimes you'll have shows where the next season, the characters seem so different from who they were. And I mean, one of the things you guys all did really well was it felt like you picked right up from where you left off, and all the characters still kept what everyone loved about them in season one and like that, like the core to them, but they still had like such great arcs and growth in season two, but they still felt like the same centered people that we knew in season one. And that's just one thing for the fans. It translates so well for us. And I mean, I know I've talked a lot about my favorite moments, but do you have a favorite line or moment from season two?
I'm trying to think if it's, I'm pretty sure it's not Bronwyn's, because it's so amazing how you appreciate how other people deliver their lines, because it's kind of like you're there as an audience. Something that like really, there's a lot of Vanessa moments this season, because her comedic timing, Sarah's comedic timing and the writing for Vanessa was just like spot on this season. Gosh, why can't I think of anything? I think she has a line that's like, I'm the one that's kidnapped or I'm missing. But the way she delivered that, it's just marvelous. She's a comedy queen.
No, Vanessa's character was so great this season, and getting to know her more and then seeing her interact with the Bayview Four and the Murder Club was really great to see, and her kind of becoming a part of it at the end. And in a potential season three, where would you like to see Bronwyn's storyline go? I know we left off on a very interesting note with her.
Oh yeah. And I have no idea what's going to happen myself. I think I would just love to see her and Nate grow more into a relationship, which never comes easy for them given all the circumstances and how different they are at core. And also I want to see her take on new hobbies or things that we wouldn't think Bronwyn would be into, because that's always so fun to play something that she's doing for the first time, because I think she really just steps into things that she knows she's naturally good at. There was a path, and there has been a path. And so when she steps outside of that, it's just hilarious to see her interact with new experiences.
Yeah. And I think that's something that was so special about the karaoke scene, because seeing her like have that new experience and something she felt so uncomfortable with, but still did it. And it was just great character growth. And I think that would be great to see in season three, especially, I mean, obviously, if it happens, no one knows where it's really going to go, but that could bring college for her. And she doesn't really know what's happening with that yet. So that would be like a great like arc for her. And I mean, you with the show have had so much success, and the way you play Bronwyn, amazing. Is there any advice that you have for anyone who's trying to get a start in the industry, no matter where it is? And I know like you come from like a New York City background. So any like New York City locals, like how you kind of made your way?
I think that New York is such an amazing city to step into the arts, because I mean, I started acting when I was like already out of high school. I had done some college years even. And the great thing about the city is that there's amazing like acting programs, for instance, in the summer, or if you want to do some internships, but even like on a set as a PA, you know, like a production assistant. During the summers is an amazing time to do that, because the weather permits it, it's kind of easier. And then you have the time outside of school to dive into those interests and then really see if you like the field that you are attracted to and take it from there. And then what happens is when you step into these opportunities, like an internship or like a summer program of any sort, acting or writing, you meet people that want to do similar things. You also meet mentors, and then that kind of takes you on the next step. And that's kind of how I did it in New York as well. I knew that I wanted to go to Stella Adler, which is the acting school that I went to, because Benicio del Toro went there and he's one of my favorite actors. So I kind of just Googled that and I'm like, okay, this is where he went. Okay, this is where I'm going to try and go. And so I went there for 2 years and I met so many amazing friends and, you know, colleagues. And we kind of started a theater group inside the school and started doing our plays. And then I met some mentors, and eventually that kind of led me to meeting the agents that I still have to this day. It's really important to just immerse yourself in the community that you want to be a part of, because it takes the support of many people and the nourishing of many people in the arts to take steps forward. So that would be my advice. And, you know, don't be afraid of sending an email, asking questions about how you want to learn how this is done. It's an amazing place to be in when you don't know much, because then the growth space is massive. You should be excited to learn things that you don't know in the field that you want to pursue.
Yeah, that's so great. Thank you so much for all that advice. I mean, that's really good advice. And I know there are some people who, like, it's scary to make that, like, reach out to somebody. But sometimes you kind of just need that push and you never know what door you're going to open. So that's great to hear. Thank you so much. And before we end, do you mind doing like a little speed round with questions?
Oh my God, I love those.
So, like, yes. Fun question. So do you have a favorite song currently?
Midnight. Hard not to. I'm saying that because I feel like that's everybody's favorite song at the moment. But I just play it a lot. I feel like it's between that and Mirror by Kendrick Lamar, and they're so different. But those have been some of the songs that I've been playing the most.
Yes. Okay. I've definitely been like very heavy on the Midnights, and of course I'll make my parallels with the show with the song, so that's been fun. I'll do like my like Nate Wynn and then a song from there, so that's been fun for me. It came out same time. And yeah. Then what about tea or coffee?
I'm such a big coffee person, but I've been drinking matcha for the most part for the last, I don't know, since I got back from New Zealand, like September. Mm-hmm. So both.
Do you prefer phone calls or texting?
Phone calls.
And then is there a last TV show or movie you watched?
Last movie was Barbarian, which is insane. You should watch it if you haven't.
Haven't.
It's so crazy.
I'll check it out.
And last TV show I watched was Wednesday, which we're all obsessed with.
I have not watched that yet. I need to get started. I think I'm going to.
You must.
I know.
It's so amazing.
I've been hearing, I need to take the time and just now, like with the holidays and everything settling down, I will get on that.
We can talk about it when you yeah. Watch it.
Yes, definitely. And then horror movies or rom-coms?
Rom-coms.
Yeah. And then New York or LA?
Oh, this is such a hard one. New York.
And there's just something so special about New York. Like, I don't know. And
yeah. And because I'm from there, I feel like I have a special relationship. I do love LA though. Like mm-hmm. I really do. And pardon my cough if you hear like my chest. I'm a little getting better from the craziest cold. But yeah, New York is just a magical place. And LA is just sunny and beautiful and allows you to have space and do outdoor stuff all year round. So I love both, but if I had to pick, I would say New York.
Yeah, no, I'm close to New York. I'm a New Yorker, so I totally understand that. But I have been to LA, love it too. You really can't compare the two, like people say.
No,
so different. Yeah. Well, Marianne, thank you so much for taking your time today and talking with me. Everyone's so excited for this interview, and I cannot wait to get it out. And thank you so much again.
Thank you. It's so lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode, and thank you again to Marianne for being a guest. Next week, showrunner Erica Saleh will be joining me to talk all things season 2. I will see you next time, and don't forget to follow One of Us is Talking on Instagram. There are some really exciting guests coming up, and you don't want to miss it.